Carl, I'd like to start by thanking you for taking the time for talking to us at 32 Reds. We're a few weeks on from your fight with Garcia, which I think is fair to say most people weren't expecting it to be quite as tough a night for you. You've had some time to reflect on it. What do you think of your performance now?
Yeah, it was an okay performance initially after the fight. I was a bit annoyed with myself, but there's a few mistakes I made. I allowed him to get into the fight, and you know, I was cruising for the first 4 or 5 rounds, and you know, just boxing the head of him pretty much, and then I stood and had a bit of a fight with him when I didn't have to, and yeah, I allowed him into the fight, but it made it a little bit more exciting for the people watching, which is a bad thing. I was trying different things out, you know, just teamed up with Jimmy Moore, and there was a few things I was working on, and I knew the things that we're doing wrong in the fight. For example, standing on the ropes a wee bit too much. We were working in the gym on blocking and countering stuff off the ropes, but I was maybe standing there for a second, 1 or 2 seconds too long, and he was getting a bit of momentum, and he was actually looking like he could do it more than he's actually doing. So, a few things that I need to work on, but you know, it's important that I know what I was doing wrong, and I was aware of it. So, we'll fix that for the next one.
Yeah. And you seemed like in the interview in the ring afterwards, you sounded happy that it was a tough fight, but then you also made a comment, I think, as well, that you might not be rushing to select your own opponents again. Does that sort of suggest that maybe even you were a little bit surprised about how tough Garcia was?
Yeah, no, I knew him a little bit, and I was talking to the team, and obviously it's been a bad year. There's a lot of different things going on, and it hasn't been a great year. And physically, for me, you know, I lost the faith, and I kind of been out of the ring for a long time. But also mentally, like, there was a lot of stuff going on in my head. So the team were looking to me for me to pick an easier opponent than Mauricio Garcia. They wanted someone much easier than that, and I kind of overruled them and said, "No, I want someone that's credible and a decent name." So they were offering me someone a bit easier than him, and I said no. But you know what? I got the hand raised at the end of the fight, and I think that a hard fight like that is kind of, it's going to put me in good stead for what's to come in 2018.
Yeah, and he certainly looked like he could take a shot. There was some early rounds there where you were landing some fairly clean punches on him, but he just seemed to keep coming.
I was bouncing shots off his head. You know, especially in the early rounds, and I probably should have known then it was going to be a big night, because shots that I was hitting him with, some of them were so clean. The left hook in the first round was like, you know, I threw it from a boot and I hit him right in the chin, and he kind of just shook it off and walked forward. So I probably should have guessed that this was going to be a long night. He could take a shot, and I heard him a few times. I could see and I could tell by his facial expressions that he was hurt a number of times in the fight, but you know, these guys are, they make them a hard stuff in Mexico, and it's good for me though. I'm glad I got a hard fight like that.
Yeah, and were there any concerns in the middle rounds when he was, you know, seemed like he was coming on a little bit after the excellent starts, or how about your corner? You know, it was your first fight with Jamie Moore. Did you sense any sort of nervousness from them when things were looking like they were getting tough?
The corner was fine. They were relaxed. Were giving me good advice, and there was no nervousness coming from the corner. But you know, I have a wee bit of machoism, and I think we all probably have it. We want to kind of stand and prove yourself when it didn't have to. It's almost like, yeah, although he was physically very strong, he wasn't a massive puncher. I was, you know, it's kind of like pump the chest out, or you know, you want to have a fight, I'll stand and have a fight with you. But that's, you know, at my level, that's just being a wee bit silly, and I think I could have just made it a bit easier for myself. But again, you know, got the hand raised at the end, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And the relationship with Jamie Moore from everybody outside looked like it clicked instantly for you two. Have you caught up with him? What was his view on the performance? The same as yours?
He kind of says there were things I done well in the fight, that we've been working on in the gym. There were things that I done wrong, and obviously it's not going to be perfect. And again, you know, it hasn't been a brilliant year for myself. So You know, he was happy enough with the performance, and as long as I'm aware of the thing that I was doing wrong and hope to rectify him and not do it again, then it's not a bad thing. I think you should learn from your mistakes. And Jimmy, you know, we spoke a few times since, and you know, initially after the fight, I wasn't really happy or, you know, with the performance, but watching him back, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, and so that's you've mentioned a couple of times there that it hasn't been the perfect 2017 for you. There's been, you know, a few issues that you've had to deal with, like the cancellation of the fight middle of the year. What does the perfect 2018 look like then? What's the plan?
Well, to win a world title back, that's the number one objective, but also to fight at Windsor Park, and imagine doing both, and then, you know, win your world title at Windsor Park in the summer. That would be the ice on the cake. But I believe I've got another world title. I mean, the discipline division, I believe that I could potentially move up the super featherweight when the time's right as well.
Yeah.
But 100% win record in 2018, I think we have 3 wins and a world title fight at Windsor Park, that would be pretty comforting.
And any talk of names that you'd like for that first fight of 2018?
Well, there's a few Nino Denaro has been mentioned a lot quite recently. He's been talking. And, you know, I believe I'd be prepared and happy enough to fight for a world title if it came about. But if the landscape doesn't change and there's, you know, a lot of people are tied up at the minute, if we can't fight the Nito, or if we can't fight for a world title, then Nito's an hour, not a bad guy to stand in. He's a hell of a fighter, a huge name as well. And I think that would be a nice fight to get me, you know, even more ready for a world title.
Well, it would certainly keep the momentum going for the big nights in Belfast, wouldn't it, if you could get a name like that over. So,
that would be huge.
You were talking there about sort of some of the other champions being tied up at the moment, and that obviously leads us on to Lee Selby, who's potentially fighting this weekend. But he's had, in the last 24 hours, a bit of drama with his opponent missing weight and then went walkabouts in London. So there's doubts over the fight. You had some similar dramas this year with Gutierrez when he slipped in the shower. Have you got some sympathy for Lee, and can you explain a bit about the feelings of what happens after going through the camp to only have this happen at the last minute?
So I've got loads of sympathy for Lee because the guy, you know, I've had that happen with Gutierrez in the summer, which is unfortunate, but that's kind of a one-off for me. Lee, the guy can't catch a break, you know. He's had very, very bad luck. A lot of different things have happened. The guy failed a medical in Las Vegas when he was on the undercard for me and Leo Santa Cruz. And then this guy got went missing somewhere in London. It's like, you know, he has no luck. Hopefully the fight comes off and Lee can get a wee bit of momentum going with his career.
Yeah. Okay. And you were saying you were doing some research, obviously, on your opponents when you selected Garcia for your last fight. His opponent Gutierrez is Mexican. He's about the same weight. Did you come across him? Was he a name that you considered at all?
Oh, this Ramirez guy.
Yeah.
No, I didn't even look at him. I didn't come across him. I haven't heard of him, to be honest. I never heard of him, so. He wasn't someone I'm aware of, and I don't really know what he's like either. So it'd be hard for me to kind of talk about how I see the fight going. But Lee Selby is no doubt one of the top featherweights in the world. And considering I haven't heard of this Ramirez guy, I'm confident enough that he should win the fight.
Yeah, well, I think the odds would suggest that you're probably right in that regard as well. He starts a big favourite, so. And if he does win, then it's no secret that the Josh Warrington fight is the one that's being planned for next. Who do you think wins that fight?
I think Selby wins it. Warrington's not bad. I don't think he gets a wee bit of stick and people kind of give him a bit too much stick. I don't think he's a bad fighter at all, but I just think Selby's a different class.
And is there any danger that sort of a disjointed 2017 for Selby, you know, maybe himself, there's been some rumours that he's quite tight at the weight, he's big for featherweight, no concerns that might sort of lead to an upset result in that fight?
Potentially, as you get older, it's always harder to do the weight and becomes more difficult, and None of us are getting younger in this game, so I haven't really seen too many signs of it as of yet. What I have seen, what I have noticed with Lee, I think maybe the weight, he's maybe not punching as hard as he once was, maybe that's the only thing I've been noticeable to me. But his engine is great, and but you know, we're all getting older in this game, and we'll know a bit more after this, right?
We will indeed. And you're obviously now working with Frank Warren, and you're on BT Sports. So potentially the winner of Selby and Warrington would be a future opponent for yourself, and would be a massive sort of domestic fight. So you've said who you think is going to win it. Who would you prefer to win it?
I would prefer Selby, because I think it's a bigger fight. But you know what? Either or, really, because Warrington has a lot of fans. I think that in terms of how big the fight would be in world boxing, me and Selby, I think, would be a bigger fight. But for UK, and talking about atmosphere and fan base, I think me against Warrington would be a lot more atmospheric. But you know what? I think that Selby's a bigger name. So, and I don't want to say who I prefer. It doesn't matter. I'm happy to fight either or.
Yeah. And when your Selby's fighting this weekend, obviously that as a someone in your division, do you allow yourself to look that far ahead and think of it as a potential opponent? Are you sitting there watching for potential flaws and things that you might be able to exploit?
Yeah, I'll keep an eye on all the guys, and it's important for me to do that. I think that, you know, although you take one fighter at a time, you need to always be looking a little bit to the future and to try and, you know, plot out a path to a world title, and Selby is a world champion at the minute, and he probably still will be next year when I'm ready to fight for one. So yeah, I'll be keeping an eye on it.
Yeah. And is there anyone else on the card on Saturday that's of interest for you? There's probably there's obviously James McGale coming back with a world title fight and building maybe towards next year, and some good young talent as well. Anyone who stands out for you?
Yeah, I like Dubois. I think he can fight. I'm hearing some good stories about him in the gym. I think that he's a lot of talent, and he's a young kid too. Seems like a nice guy as well. I think that he could do something in the sport. And obviously Yard as well, is a very good fighter, and BT are getting behind him and raving about him. But you know, we'll tell a bit more from these guys as the level of opposition steps up.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not the Selby fight isn't the only one that takes place this weekend with potential future opponents for yourself. Over in New York, we've obviously got Lomachenko versus Rigondo as well. It's probably not going to break any records for viewers, and it's maybe one for sort of hardcore boxing fans. But who do you see coming out on top in that one? It's very high level technical fight.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great fight. I think that's one for the boxing purists. But see, to be honest, I think Lomachenko. Anyone should get any sports fan should get excited about Lomachenko and how he fights. I think he's an amazing fighter. I really love what Rigo does. I know that he's a quality fighter, one of the most accurate fighters in the world. You know, the guy who throws, you know, maybe not the most clean on the eye, throws 10 punches around, but normally lands 9 of them. You know, he's very, very accurate. And but I think that Lomachenko, his work, his output, and his say is going to be too much, and I'm expecting him to stop Rigo.
Yeah, and Regan, though, was touted as an opponent of yours before as well, particularly when you were down a weight class. Did that ever realistically come close to happening, or was it always talked about?
The Regal fight could still happen. He talks about me a lot, and he's a hell of a fighter, and you know, I've got a bit of stick about dodging him, but I want to get this straight. It's, you know, how I explain the Regal fight to other people, the TV networks don't like him because he's not a blood and guts guy, and that's what they want to see. Average Joe on the street wants to see blood and guts. Rigo doesn't supply that, although he's an amazing fighter and someone I respect a lot. So when the TV companies don't respect it, the money's not there to fight these guys. So, you know, if any normal man on the street, if your boss asks you to do a job 5 times harder for less money, you're going to tell him to piss off. So that's how I look at it for Rigo. I'm happy to fight anyone in the world, and the right reward for a Rego fight, I would certainly fight him. And I think that I've got a style, and I'm going to be a bigger man on the night. I've got a style to beat him. I honestly believe that.
Yeah. Well,
it'd be a difficult fight, a hell of a fighter, but I reckon I could beat Rego.
Well, maybe a big win this weekend for Regan Duffy could upset Lomachenko, might change people's minds and make that more viable.
I spoke about that, and even not even a big win, but if he makes it exciting and he keeps it competitive, then he becomes a bigger name than what he is. He should be a huge name. He should be a phenomenon, Rego. No, I nearly got that right. But he's it's because of his style and the public can't, they just won't take to him. But if he puts in a good performance against Lomachenko and the TV network start to like him, I'd be happy to fight him. Not a problem.
It wouldn't be the first time he's put the brakes on one of Top Rank's up and coming stars either. He did the same to Daenerys a few years ago. So we shouldn't write him off completely. Lomachenko, you've talked about potentially going up to 130 yourself. Is that a name that you could see in the future as someone for a super fight up at that weight, or do you think he might be gone and moved up the weights himself?
I think he'd probably go through the weights, but I want to be involved in huge fights, and that's the fight that would excite me. Lomachenko is an amazing fighter. I know I go into that fight as a huge underdog, but it's always important to test yourself, and again, you talk about the reward and what you get out of a fight like that. I think that these are big names that I want to be in the mix with.
Yeah, all right. So we're looking at a world title in 2018, and then a potentially a unification versus Selby and Warrington, and then what, Santa Cruz for a rubber match and a maybe a pound for pound number one shot at Lomachenko the following year. Does that sound like a plan to you?
That wouldn't be a bad couple of years.
Sounds like what we'd like to see. But all right, perfect. Well, Carl, thank you very much for talking to us, and we'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, Jerry.
Cheers. Thank you.